Church, it is so great to see you today. I just want to say thank you to those who have led us in our services. You have taken very serious your roles, and you have helped us thus far have a great service in praising our Heavenly Father. You know, you might interview my wife and she'd say I am high maintenance, I don't know. But I really don't think I ask for much in life. I want myself, my family, and as many people as I can to go to heaven. I ask for that. And I ask when we're in heaven that Danny Irwin sit near me when we sing Shield About Me. Thank you, brother. That was powerful. Travis always sends me good news when we have good crowds. And Travis sent me that we have 295 today. But what he doesn't know is we have some expectant people here. So we're over 300, brother. Seriously, though, today is a day of celebration. We're celebrating our God, right? We're celebrating that tomb is still empty. We're going to celebrate some graduates. But before we get to celebrating our graduates, we do have some mamas and daddies that are celebrating good news. Today, in our midst, we have a couple ladies that are with child that maybe you're not aware of just yet. So I'm going to let you think for a minute. You can look around, and if you thought today we should congratulate Ellen Talbot, you thought right. I'm not done. So, Philip, Ellen, Dawson, Finley, and Danny and Lisa, congratulations. We're so happy for y'all. This next one I was going to have some fun with, but I did not want to give a heart attack to one of the sister-in-laws. But I just want to say, the next one I'll just go ahead and say, David and Lynn and the Barnes family, congratulations. Because we also understand Katie is pregnant again. So congratulations. See, I was going to say congratulations to Justin, Ashley, as they're going to have a new niece, but Ashley probably would have killed me. So, hey, it's always great, right? Please pray for these mamas-to-be and these babies. And certainly, if you want to understand how awesome our God works, dig a little bit deeper with Philip and Ellen, and they can probably tell you that as well. So, today's a day of celebration. Today, we're going to honor milestones. We're going to honor accomplishments. And we're going to honor seasons that have been completed. Some of those that will experience that are named Luke, Gabe, Peyton, Logan, Aiden, Alex, Scott, Caden, Maddox, Blakely, Evan, Austin, JJ, Jordan, Dylan, Haley, Michael, Victoria, and Paige. Those names are all celebrating seasons that have been completed. Milestones. accomplishments. But today, more than just celebrating them, it is a quick reminder that time is literally filled with swift transitions. And everyone in here, time is moving for all of us. So today in my lesson, if I could give a graduate address, you could consider this a graduate address, but I also want you to know that it's not just a graduate address, it's addressed to all of us. It's a congregational address, a church address, so that we can ask ourselves three important questions. There we go. I don't even know if this is on, or the batteries may be dead. Here they are. What's in a name? What's in a memory? And what really matters? So let's get into it. Number one, what's in a name? In Ecclesiastes 7:1, we have the words of the wise preacher, right? The wise king, if you will, Solomon. He wrote under inspiration, a good reputation, or in this case, a good name, is more valuable than costly perfume. You see, a name is more than our identification. It really carries with it our reputation. You think about some of the names that you hear in the Bible. Some of those names have just great meaning, right? They just have, they put you in a great place when you hear names like Abraham. When you hear names like Moses. When you hear names like Elijah. Names like Paul. Names like Peter. We could go on and on. These names put you in a good mindset. But do you know some names from the Bible have carried a bad reputation all along? A name like Jezebel. You think of that name and what it represented in the Bible and what it represents today. Name like Judas. Judas, who in the Bible became a betrayer, and people talk about Judases today that are betraying others and are traitors. You see, in Scripture, a name always represented somebody's character, somebody's identity, and somebody's integrity. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Think about that. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Does your name matter? Does my name matter? When we leave out of this place and people think of our names, what comes to their mind? You see, I pray that when people think of your name and it is associated with the Azalea City Church of Christ, that it brings a smile to their face, right? That it makes their heart smile. And it's warm and it's inviting and it's encouraging, because that's what this congregation should represent. And that's what individually, as members of this congregation, we ought to represent. And in all of that, we represent the King, because we're ambassadors for Him. You know, as a coach, you would tell players, hey, you're playing for that name on your jersey. See, part of their name on their jersey is their family name, right? But then it's also their school's name. You're playing for something bigger. You represent something bigger than yourself. And that's what all of our names ought to be. Something bigger than ourselves. You see, choosing a good name rather than gold or silver or great riches it's not just a question to a young person, what's in a name? You see, that's a lifelong pursuit for all of us. It ought to be something that we're all striving to have, a name, a reputation that brings glory and honor to God. You don't just receive a good name. You earn it. To me, that matters, right? My reputation matters. And you know, there have been times when I have had my character attacked. Not from anyone here, but you have it, right? Because Satan's going to try to stir up everything. And you know, you might have your character attacked, and somebody may post something that's about you, or somebody may say something that's about you, and then people will ask you about it, and you know what they'll say? They'll say, no, not Terry. Because he represents something more than that. That's my prayer, right? That's my hope. I hope that for all of us today. You don't just receive a good name, you earn it. You do that by building it. How? Day by day. Every day when I get up and I take up my cross and follow Him, it's about building a good name, a good reputation, because I represent the King of Kings. That means how we speak matters. Listen, I understand that you go places in this world and profane talk is just another word to them. I've been at places where, in fact, there's a group of us been in this room together where you encounter these people and their language is just as bad as profanity. If you're going to rank profanity, from top word to bottom, they use them all, okay, and a lot of the top ones. But eventually they realize, hey, these folks don't talk like that. And I'm not saying they quit completely, but they clean it up a little bit. You see, because it matters how we speak. I have had a job besides a preacher before. I've worked in a paper mill before. I understand how people in the workforce talk. Some of you go and you'll encounter that tomorrow. You'll encounter it in other places. But we must be different. You see, there have been lions that have been tamed. There are killer whales, get that name, killer whales that have been tamed. But do you know what the Bible says? No man can tame the tongue. It takes God. But when I surrender my life to Him, I surrendered my tongue to Him, right? We don't talk about this maybe enough. I think with teenagers I talked about it a lot. What we take in and consume every day matters. Some of it we can't help, some of it we can. Think about the music that comes out of our radio or out of our devices or wherever it is. Listen, I grew up in a time in the 80s when I understand that, you know, that brought MTV into the world, which I think they're gone now, by the way, believe it or not. But it brought MTV into the world, and you know, I understand that country music was about affairs and alcohol and everything else. And so everything I grew up, I heard all that myself, and I'm not going to tell you, I have a perfect soundtrack on my phone, but the purpose is of this lesson is what we listen to from music to television to internet, what we take in and consume, eventually, if we're not careful, that will come out. By the way, that's biblical. Evil communication corrupts good morals. So our good name means that I've got to speak the way God wants me to speak. It's also in how I treat people. You know, I get frustrated with people, and you do too, right? We get frustrated when people are rude. We get frustrated when people disrespect us. We get frustrated when we don't have a good waiter or waitress. But instead of just reacting and treating people the way the world will treat them, why don't we treat them the way Christ would? Listen, I don't preach sermons I don't need to hear. I get it. I know the struggle. But if I want a good name, and remember, I'm not just representing me. I'm representing Azalea City. I'm representing Jesus Christ. You think about that. If I want a good name and a good reputation, then I got to treat people the way Christ would treat them. A good name means that what you do when no one is watching also matters. We're not always going to be supervised by Christians, right? We're not always going to be supervised by people that are great people. When we're in that crowd, how are we acting? Or when we're by ourselves, how are we acting? You see, that's what a good name means. There's danger, though. There's danger in our names. There's danger in representing a name that's not what God wants it to be, because we live in a world that's obsessed with making a name for themselves. It's a selfish world. We live in a world that wants to promote themselves, that wants to make an image of themselves that others will worship essentially and bow down to. God is not concerned with how society labels us, but He is concerned with our integrity. You want a spiritual truth here? It's possible to have a name that is known everywhere. Gone and made a name for yourself, right? It's possible to have a name that is known everywhere, and it's possible to have a name that is known everywhere and still not be right with God. Revelation, Jesus said, you have, in Revelation 3:1, you have the reputation, you have the name, in other words, of being alive. He said, other people know that you're a church that is alive and you're active and you're doing great things. And He said, that's your reputation. That's your name. But you know what He said? I know you. You are dead. See, that's sobering. Because God knows our name. You remember when Mary supposed Jesus to be the gardener? And she's in kind of a frantic mode right there, and He said her name. And she realized who He was. He knows our names. But He also knows what those names represent. When God designed us, He said, let us make man in our image. So He made Adam, and then He formed Eve from man. And He said to them, be fruitful and multiply, while they were in the Garden of Eden. He said, in other words, let's put it where we can really just grasp this. He said, I want you to represent me. I want you to be an imager of me, an x-ray of me. When people see you, they ought to see me. Not only here in Eden, but throughout the world. Be fruitful and multiply. Make more imagers of me. Make the entire world Eden. Well, that's still our call today. Do people know your name? Do they understand what your name stands for? Here's what we really want, right? Luke 10:20, Jesus' words, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the goal. Second question I want us to think about this morning is this. What's in a memory? If a name is what people know about you, a memory is what people will carry with them because of you. Think about that. Now listen, our graduates are making a name, right? We as a church are making a name, but we're also making memories. Memories are good. Sometimes memories are sad. But we all have memories. What are people going to remember about us? You see, memories reveal the impact of your life. Life is not measured just in years. It's measured in influence. In Psalm 112:6, the psalmist writes this. Listen to this. The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. You know that widow that gave two mites? David taught us about that not that long ago, reminded us. You remember when she gave those two mites? When she put those in, do you think 2,000 years later she thought people would be talking about her? What about that woman in Mark 5 who had the disease, the issue of blood? And she crawled on her belly, perhaps, through a crowd of people just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And he finds her and he tells her that her faith has made her whole, made her well. Do you think 2,000 years later, she thought we would be telling stories about her? I'm going to tell you no, but here we are. You see, those memories are recorded and they go on living forever and they're powerful and they're impactful. The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever whether we realize it or not. We're leaving something behind right now. We're shaping how people will remember us. In our homes, right? We're shaping how our children, even their friends, will remember us in our workplace. People will tell stories about us perhaps one day. We're shaping those memories. What about in this church? Again, I've been here my entire life. As a child growing up and now as an adult and still raising children and your preacher and as an elder here, when you're here a long time, you remember special people. And we've had a lot of them. So you do a lot of weddings, and unfortunately you do a lot of funerals. At those funerals, I always try to remind people that memories are precious, just like the gospel hymn. And I try to remind them to run their fingers through this treasure chest of memories of this great person. Someday people are going to run their hearts through our memories. It's not just the big achievements in life. Not just the major milestones in our lives. It's the tone of our voice. And listen, I've been told many times I have tone of voice issues. Most of the time by my wife. But the reality is, how are we talking to people? People are going to remember the consistency of our faith. They're going to remember the way we responded under pressure. I want you to just think for a moment right now, and I hope your minds are already there, of someone in your spiritual team that's cheering you on, in that great cloud of witnesses right now. Think of that person and how they impacted your life the most. Now, if I were to ask you, can you remember everything about that person? you would say no. I can't remember everything. But you know what you would remember? How they lived. What they valued. And the example that they set before you. You see, through the years, and I'm proud of this, I have had the opportunity to be around youth, from a youth minister in my time here to a teacher and a coach at Mobile Christian School. Just recently we had a young man who's 6'7" visit with us. And he just reached out of the blue. He emailed the office, and I thought I got in touch with him through Messenger, but apparently he doesn't have that anymore, so he emailed the office, and he called the office, hey, what time does church start tonight? And he came on a Wednesday night. And you know, I'm sure I chewed this kid out. I'm sure that I fussed at him a lot. But he told me the next day after he had visited, Coach, I want you to know the reason I came to church is because of the way you treated me. Listen, now there may be some that would never step foot in here because of the way I treated them. Hopefully that's not the case. But the reality is, he's not going to remember the lessons I taught. I don't remember the lessons I taught. But he had those memories, and I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful to God for those moments of reminders, right? That we're laying a foundation for others. The greatest example of all is Jesus Christ. We know that. If I were to say to you right now, define Jesus' life in one sentence, it'd be hard. It'd be hard to talk about the miracles. It'd be hard to summarize the parables. It'd be hard to talk about the good that He did, the cross, the grave, the resurrection. Luke did it, though. In Acts 10:38, he reminds us there, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. That's how Jesus is remembered. Now notice in that, he talked about the Holy Spirit was upon him, in him. He talked about the power that God anointed him with. But it wasn't just the power he remembered. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit he remembered. He remembered Jesus for the good things he did. What will people remember about us? So it gets us down to this final question. What really matters? This is the question that should bring everything into focus today. Names can be forgotten. The older you get, maybe the more you realize that, right? The older I get, I do. Memories can fade. Somebody will say, hey, you remember that time? And I'm like, no, I don't. I wish I did, maybe. But you know what doesn't get forgotten? And what never will fade? Eternity. Listen to Paul's perspective on this. Go ahead and turn to Philippians 3:7-8. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Paul said, I've had everything this world would ever value. There was a time, remember, Paul went to elite Hebrew school under Gamaliel. There was a time he was probably really successful in making tents. And as long as he lived that life, he probably wore the fancy robe. And he had money. But on the road to Damascus, he gave all of that up. He said, I count that as garbage. And I count it as garbage so that I could gain Jesus Christ. Because that's what matters most. If you look at the book of Philippians that Jeff read to us from in Philippians 3, here's what Paul said, and I'm going to leave it with you. Paul preached it better than I can. What really matters? Number one, a right relationship with Christ. In Philippians 3:10, Paul wrote there that I may know Him. Think about that. Paul didn't say, I want to know religion. He knew religion in the past. Paul didn't say, I want to know routine. He said, I want to know Him, and that's relationship. Today you want to know what really matters in life? Knowing Jesus Christ. Secondly, Paul said, you know what really matters? A transformed life. Philippians 3:12, he said, I press on. He's not gotten where he wants to yet. He said, but my life has transformed. You remember the reputation led him, right? Ananias, I need you to teach Saul of Tarsus. Ananias said, whoa, I got a little heartburn over that. Got a few reservations over that, Jesus. Jesus said, no, it's okay. He's a chosen vessel of mine. He's going to bear my name before kings, before Gentiles. And I will show him the things he must suffer. Ananias was nervous about teaching Saul of Tarsus, who just had Stephen killed. But he did it. And Paul was baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And all those sins were washed away. And he came up out of that water, as he wrote later on in Romans chapter 6, to walk in newness of life. And you remember what he did? He went to the synagogues after that. Not to go and find Christians and kill them, but to preach Jesus to them. He said, I haven't already attained, but I've been transformed and I press on. You got to leave the past in the past and press on to the future. It's not perfection, it's pursuit. But then he said, you know what really matters in this chapter? He said, a race that's finished, a finished race. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal. Paul didn't start very well for the church. I would say he started as bad for the church as it could be. But thanks be to God, he ended well. His name, his reputation, it was not very good. For the Christians, right? For Jesus Christ, for the church, it was not very good. But he found himself knowing Jesus, forgetting the things, the garbage of the past, and knowing Jesus. He pressed on, and he pressed on toward the goal so that he could tell Timothy, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. How are we going to finish? Jesus gave a warning in Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? The question doesn't just apply to our teenagers and graduates today. It better apply to every parent, every grandparent, every brother, every sister, everybody in this room today. What really matters to us? Is it money? Is it our image in the world? Is it being recognized at work? Being approved by our boss, approved by someone else? Or is it Jesus Christ? So today is a day full of celebration. But it also needs to be a day, and especially right now, a moment of reflection. Because I said at the beginning, life is moving swiftly. What's the purpose of your name? What are we leaving in lasting memories in other people? And when our life is over, what will really have mattered? Listen to this last verse as you see it on the screen. Those words are in red from Revelation 3:5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. So as we close, as we reflect, as we think, when you walked in here today, you may have realized, hey, I didn't very well. And you know, people, I don't have a good name. I don't have a good reputation amongst others. And I've left some bad memories with some people. But today, I want to know Him. I want to be transformed by Him. And I want to spend eternity with Him. I want Him to confess my name before the Father and His angels. Here's the beautiful thing about it. When you walk that aisle, and you confess that He is the Son of God, and we take you and we baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed, guess what? When you come up out of that water, no longer will they see your old name. Will they have those old memories or that old reputation? They will only see Jesus. Today, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, it is not your name. It's not your reputation. It's all about Jesus. Do people see Jesus when they see you? I don't know how you started, but today, I can tell you, you can finish well. You can respond. And if you think, hey, I really want to do that, and I really need some prayers, but I don't really want to walk that aisle, find an elder. Let them pray with you. Confess to them. And let us help you. Today, what really matters? I pray it's Jesus Christ. If you have a need, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.